Today's daf is Nida Daf Chof Hey, and we will begin from the Mishnah, 15 lines from the bottom of Daf Chof Dal Ramad Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema to Shlomo Ben Sarah Alisa. So the topic is the Halachos of Hamapelas. So the Torah outlines in the beginning of Parshas Tazria, a woman that gives birth to a child becomes Tameh. If she gives birth to a Zachar, she's Tameh for 7 days. Any blood that she sees after the 7 days for the ensuing 33 days will be treated as dam toihar. So 7 days, any blood that she sees makes her tameh. After that, the next 33 days, any dam that she sees will actually be considered as dam toihar. If she gives birth to an akeva, she's tameh for 14 days. Any blood that she sees for the next 66 days will be dam toihar. So the numbers are doubled, both with regards to the Yemei Tumah and with regards to the Yemei Taira for an Akeva versus a Zachar. The first Mishnah in the third parak of Masechtas Nida discussed what happens if a woman gives birth to something, but it's not a typical child. The first case was a Mapelas Chaticha. She gave birth to a clump, a mass. It has no form. Is she Tameh or is she not Tameh? A woman gave birth to a klipa, a saira, afar, yapchushin, something red, but it doesn't look like typical blood. A woman gave birth to a fish, a grasshopper, shkotzen v'rumasin. A woman gave birth to a behema chayvayv. This was all discussed in the Mishnah as it relates to halachas of how this leda will impact her halachas of tumas yeledes. The Mishnah is now going to continue to discuss different types of childbirths, how they impact her halacha of tumas yeledes. Hamapeles, shvir molimayim, if a woman gives birth to an embryo. So an embryo is a fetus, and it's very, very early stage. So the first weeks of its development, it's not technically, scientifically referred to yet as a fetus, but rather it's referred to as an embryo. So this is something that eventually was going to become a child, but it was in such an early stage that it wasn't a child yet. So this shvir came out, if it was full of water, mali dam, it had blood in it, mali genunim, or if there was some matter of different colors, enu cheshesh eslevad, you don't have to be worried about tumas yoledes, moisem merukim. If, however, the embryo seemed developed, we'll see what that means in the Gemara, teshev lezachar ul nekeva, assuming that you can't figure out whether it's a zachar or nekeva, so there she would have to, the chumra, observe the halachas of Tumah and Tahira, both as they relate to Zachar and Akeva. Mapela sandal, if somebody gives birth, a woman does, to a sandal, we'll see what that is in tomorrow's naf, a yishilya, that's the sack in which the embryo grows, teshev again, lezachar ul nekeva. Zach de gemar, bishle medamu mayim leklumi. So the first halacha of the Mishnah was, a woman was mapela sashvir, she gave birth to an embryo, so it said in the Mishnah, whether it's mole mayim, mole dam, or mole genunim, doesn't matter if it's filled with water, blood, or matter of genunim, many different colors, talacha, she doesn't have any tumas yeledes, meaning it's not considered a leda. So the Gemara says, bishleim, if it was full of dam and mayim, like kumi, I understand, it's not a leda. She miscarried a sack of blood and water. It could have, would have, should have turned into a vlad, but it never did. So because of that, obviously there's no tumas leda, ela genunim, but if you had this multicolored matter inside the embryo, nechashem a vlad hava, maybe that's a vlad, vini moyach, and rachmano litzlan, it was crushed, it disintegrated, it never developed, but if there was once a vlad there, now she gave birth to this, so the chur, it should be tumas yeledes. So the Gemara says, Amr Abaya. Abaya said, Kama yayin chai shosas imoy shozeh, sheni moyach ubra mitoich meyeh. How much wine could this woman have drank in order for this to actually have happened? Meaning the only way that this vlad, Abaya said, would have turned into this multicolored matter is if she was doing a lot of drinking. It's not mistaber that happened, and as a result, the halacha is that we don't look at it as a vlad. Rava said it's even more simple, because the Mishnah said that the embryo was mole genunavim iso de ismuchi ismach mechzer chaser. Had this been a vlad that just disintegrated, then there would have been a little bit of space between the matter and the outside of this sack. From the fact that it fills it up completely, scientifically said, Rava, that means that it wasn't a vlog. It was multicolored, so why was it multicolored? If it was a vlog, it would have been one color. The fact that it has several colors, that was a sign, that's a chazal knew that there wasn't a vlog. The bottom line is, a woman that's mapelas a shvir moli mayim, shvir moli dam, shvir moli genunim, ain't like chesh as a vlog, she doesn't have to worry about a vlog. Zokti Gemara, Tanya. Pasholam, Abishol said, I used to be a koiver mason. That's what Abishol did. He was a koiver mason. Chevre Kadisha. Vayisim mistako b'atzomishol mason. I used to look at the atzomois of the mason. And he said, I observed the following. If somebody drinks wine that is not diluted, atzmois of serufim. After he dies, his bones become burnt. Mazuk, if he drinks wine that's overly diluted, atzmois of sechuyim. His bones are dry. Karoi, if however, when he drinks wine, meaning everyone drinks wine, but if the wine that he drinks is not undiluted, it's also not overly diluted, so then atzmoisav meshuchim, then his bones are going to be perfect, they'll be properly lubricated. He continued, and he said, someone who drinks more than he eats, atzmoisav shruf, again, his bones are burnt, atzmoisav shruf, if he drinks more than he eats more than he drinks, then his bones become very dry. Karoi, if however he has a proper balance between eating and drinking, atzmois of meshuchen, then his bones are going to be properly lubricated. Tanya, so on this note, that Abishol was a koiver mason, or Yisi, the Gemara tells us a classic, I gather to Gemara. Abishol, like Abishol says, v'tehim Rabbi Yochanan. Some say it was Rabbi Yochanan. Now this is Rabbi Yochanan mentioned in a braisa, so obviously it's not the great Rabbi Yochanan that's mentioned throughout Shas, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. This was a Tana of Rabbi Yochanan. Tosfos says in Ksubas Daf Ches Amud Aleph that Rabbi Yochanan was an Amora. Rabbi Yochanan wasn't a Tana. So if you have a Tanya and you have the Itamer Rabbi Yochanan, it's obviously another Stam Rabbi Yochanan in Shas. But regardless, Tanya, I'm sure I'll Rabbi Yochanan. Kever Meis, you say, I used to be a Kever Meis, Pam Achaz Ratzdi Achar Atzvi. One time, I was running after a deer. V'nechnasti b'kula shel Meis. I was chasing this deer. The deer entered the thigh bone, Kulis, of Masechtas Chulin fame. It entered the thigh bone of a Meis, of a corpse, V'ratzdi Acharav. And I ran after it inside this corpse. This kulis, shalosh parsois. I was running three parsois. Utzvilo higati, v'kulis lecharasa. But I couldn't reach the tzvi. I couldn't catch the deer. But not just that, this tunnel, this kulis continued to go. I didn't make it to the end. So he says, I just ran out of strength. So I turned around. Unbelievably, I asked people, I said, what was this kulis? Whose thigh bone is this? They told me, this is the kulis. It's the thigh bone of Oig Melech Habash, and that's where you are. Obviously, this Gemara is Einoy Oimer Ela Dershuni. We'll see more about that at the end of the daf. Tanya Abishol, Oimer Abishol said, similarly, Koyver Meisim, I used to be a Koyver Meisim. I worked for the Chevre Kaddish. One time, the floor of one of these caves that I was burying someone in opened up underneath me, and I fell. And I found myself standing inside the pupil of an eye. And this eye was so big that I was literally up until my nose. When I made my way out and I came out of the ma'aro and I told the chevra what happened, Amru, they told me, Ayin Shalav Shalom Hoysa. This was the eye of Avishalom, and that's where I was stuck. Says the Gemara, you'll tell me, that's not such an impressive story. Maybe Avishalom was very, very short. He was very small. And as a result, when he stood in the eye of Avishalom, it somehow went up until his nose. But the Gemara says, not true. In fact, it's just the opposite. Abishol aruch b'dayrei hava. Abishol was the tallest man of his generation. For Rav Tarfin, in fact, Rav Tarfin, who was also very tall, magi l'ksefa, he only came up to his shoulders. And Rav Tarfin, by the way, you'll tell me, maybe he wasn't sultan. No. Rav Tarfin aruch b'dayrei hava. Rav Tarfin was the tallest man of his generation, a generation later. For Rav Meir, magi l'ksefa. And Rav Meir, who was also tall, only came up to Rav Tarfin's shoulders. Ramei Aruch B'dai Rehava, V'Rebbe Magia L'Kseifai. Rebbe Aruch B'dai Rehava, Rebbe was the tallest man of his generation, V'Rab Chia Magia L'Kseifai. Rab Chia only came to Rebbe's shoulders. Rab Chia Aruch B'dai Rehava, Rab Chia was the tallest man of his generation, V'Rav Magia L'Kseifai. Rab only came up until his shoulders. Rab Aruch B'dai Rehava, Rab was the tallest man of his generation, V'Rab Yehuda Magia L'Kseifai. Rab Yehuda Aruch B'dai Rehava, V'Ado Daila, not sure who that was, Magi Alexei. He only came up until his shoulders. Parsh Devino, the Pumpadisa, Koyle La Ada Daila Ad Palge, the Parsh Devino, Pumpadisa, only reached half the height of Ada, the Kuli Alma,
koi le parsh devina de pompadisa ad charze. And everybody else only reached up to the loins of parsh devina de pompadisa. But the bottom line, it says the Gemara, Bishol was actually a very, very, very tall man. He fell into the eye, literally, the eyeball of Avshalom, and he was up until his nose, which somehow suggests the humongous size of the eyeball of Abishol. Just one interesting thing as it relates to this last Gemara. So Abishol was Aruch B'dayroi, Reb Tarfon was Magil Iksefoy, Reb Tarfon was Aruch B'dayroi, Reb Meir was Magil Iksefoy, etc., etc. Pashtus, it's referring to real physical height. And by the way, one of the Amiram mentioned in this Gemara was Rav. Rav, we know, his real name was Abba. Why was he called Rav? The Rashbam says in Masechtas Bava Basra, Daf Nun Beis, and Rashi says in the first parak of Masechtas Beya, because he was Rabban Shal Kol Bnei Agoyla, but that wasn't really his name. Right? The Rashbam says they referred to Rav as Rav, K'moshe Karol Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, but that wasn't his name. He wasn't Yukarish Moib Yisrael at his Bris Milah, Rav. He became Rav because he became the Rabbi of Klal Yisrael. So what was Rav's real name? His name was Abba, and he was known as Abba Aricha. And the reason he was known as Abba Zaricha is because he was very tall. So on some level, it would sound like that maybe this Gemara is supposed to be taken literally. Stating that, to say that Adoyah springs from the Sefer Yuchsin that says, Avada Pashup Shana in this Gemara is not to bring out how tall these respective Tanoim and Amiram were. But this is bringing out more their spiritual greatness. And the punchline of the Gemara is that you see, you read this Adoyah, that Abishol was the Aruch B'dayroi, he was the great man of his generation, and Rav Tarfon was only Magil Iksefa. He only came up until his shoulders. And then the next generation, Rav Meir was the Gadol, and he only came up to the shoulders of Rav Tarfon, etc., etc. So even though on some level there would seem to be some Pashup Shat that Rav should be the Aruch B'dayroi, he was known as Abba. Incidentally, the Rishonim quote this Gemara as a source that Abba was called Abba Aricha because he was the Aruch B'dayroi. It's a Mefurish Gemara here in Nidduch Haftal Ramad Beis, but like many Agadot Gemaras, even if it is meant to be understood Pashut, but there's always a deeper meaning. The deeper meaning is the idea of Yeridus Adaris. There's a lot to talk about on this Gemara that we just learned. This will be the topic of the raid, but first we have a Nida Gemara to learn. Says the Gemara, Shalul Lefnei Rebbe. The following question was posed to Rebbe. Hamapela Shvir Mali Basar Mao. What happens if a woman gives birth to a Shvir, an embryo? It wasn't filled with Mayim, it wasn't Dam, and it wasn't Genunim, like the Mishnah discussed, but rather it was Basar. So if it's Mayim, Dam, and Genunim, the Mishnah says, Eino Cheshesh Es Levad. You don't assume that it was a Levad. But what if it was Basar? There was flesh inside. Where did the meat come from? It sounds like there was a Vlad over here. What's the halacha? I'm going to say, he told him, Ishamati. He said, I'll tell you the truth, I don't know. I know Messiah on this. I'm going to find out Rabbi Shmuel of Rabbi Yossi. So the great Rabbi Yossi's son, Rabbi Shmuel of Rabbi Yossi, was there. He was a Talmud of Rebbe. So he turns to Rebbe and he says, Kach Amar Abba. I'll tell you what Abba said, meaning Rabbi Yossi. Mali dam tmei nida. If the sphere is Mali dam, she's Tommy Tumas nida. Mali basar, if it's filled with basar, tmei leida, she's Tommy Tumas leida. I heard it from my father, the Rebbe. You don't have a Messiah. I have a Messiah. I heard it from Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is Nimuka Yimai, Halacha Kemaisa B'chol Makom Rabbi Yossi. So he said, Rabbi, I have a psak. Amalei, so Rabbi told Rabbi Yossi, Amalei, Dabba Chadash, Amar Talon, Mishum Avicha, Shmanucha. Had you only told me the second thing, I would have accepted what you said. I would paskin like this moving forward. That a woman miscarries an embryo, this basar inside of it, I would assume for sure it's a vlad, she's Tamei Tumas Lid. However, Achshav Midaha Kemaisa, Ki Yechida Kamar. Being that you said two things. And the first thing that you said over in the name of your father, Rabbi Yossi, I know for a fact is not Ois Kehalten in Halacha, because it's only a Das Yochid. Who is it? Sumchis, Sha'ama Mishum Rameir. He had it in the beginning of the parak, where Sumchis said that if a woman is Mapala, a Chaticha, you have to open up the Chaticha to see if there's blood inside. Because if there's blood inside, she's going to be Tami Tumas Nida. Whereas the Chachamim held not that way. That if a woman miscarries a Chaticha, unless there's Dam Ima, Dam Betoicha doesn't make her a Nida. It would have to be Dam Ida. The blood would actually have to come out. So Rebbe told Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, the first thing you said, Mole Dam Tmei Anida, that's for sure Sumchis Ishita. I know we don't hold like Sumchis. So Hanami, I'm concerned that maybe the second thing that you said from your father, that if the Shvir is Mali Basa, she's Tommy Tomas Leda, maybe that's also Shemek Rabbi Yeshua Amra. Maybe it's going also like a Das Yachid. Who's the Yachid Rabbi Yeshua? The Ein Alachik Rabbi Yeshua. And I know for a fact that Alach is not like Rabbi Yeshua. So who's that Rabbi Yeshua? Time to go into the price. Pella Shvir, Shein Merukin. A woman miscarries a Shvir. That's not Merukin. That's not developed. Rabbi Yeshua Imer Vlad. Rabbi Yeshua said that it's treated like a Vlad. The Chachamim Imer Meni Vlad. Chachamim say it's not a Vlad. Right? The Chachamim were mentioned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, if the embryo was developed, so then there's Tumas Leda, clearly implying if the embryo was not developed, then there is no Tumas Leda. But either way, so said Rebbe, maybe when Rabbi Yossi said that if the Shvil was Malei Basar, this Tumas Leda, maybe he was going according to Rabbi Yeshua, that has a much lower standard in terms of what a Vlad is. He holds that a Shvil She'enei Merukam, it's not developed at all, is considered a Vlad with regards to Tumas Leda. So too, if it'd be Malei Basar, the halacha would be, it would be Tumas Leda. But according to the Chachamim that have a higher standard, they hold that the Shvir has to be Merukim, so maybe if it's Malei Basar, it's not going to be good either. Either way, so Rebbe told Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi that even though Rabbi Yossi, your father, said that Shvir Malei Basar is Tumas Leda, I'm concerned that maybe he meant it Aliba to a Yachid. Rabbi Yeshua, why would you assume he was going according to a Yachid if the halacha is not like that Yachid? Because he said it in a context. He said two halachas. The first of the two halachas, I know for sure, was Adas Yachid. It was Sumchis Mishum Rameir, which is not Aliba the Hilchas. So maybe this was also not Aliba the Hilchas. Who would be the Das Yachid? Rabbi Yeshua. So either way, so we mentioned Rabbi Yeshua and the Chachamim. So the Gemara is going to digress for a moment and bring a Machloikis on Meiraim, how to understand Rabbi Yeshua, or what exactly the Machloikis is between the Yeshua and the Chachamim. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Laki, this machloikis between Rabbi Shua and the Chachamim, where a woman miscarried an embryo that was not fully developed. The Chachamim say it's nothing in terms of Tumas Leda. Rabbi Shua said it's a vlad. So Rish Lakish said in the name of Rabbi Oishia, the machloikis was where there was something inside of it. Meaning there had to be something inside. Otherwise, Rabbi Shua would have never said it's a halacha. What was inside was a liquid that was murky. Aval Batsalo, but if there was a liquid inside that was clear, everybody would hold it's not a Vlad. Rabbi Shua ben Levi said, no, Batsalo Machloikis. Machloikis was where it was like, Ibailuhu, Batsalo Machloikis, Abachar de Yaakov Vlad. Did he mean to say that Machloikis went as Salo, but if it would have been Acher, everybody would hold it's a Vlad? Maybe he meant the Machloikis is in both cases. Either way, the Gemara says, Teku, meaning, there's the Machloikis Amiram, what exactly Rabbi Shua means. Does Rabbi Shua mean that any time there's a Shvir, She'enai Merukim, it doesn't matter who, what, when, where is inside, there could be liquid that's solo, automatically Toma, or only if there's a Achor liquid, there's a liquid inside that is murky on some level, only then did he say is Allah. Faith the Gemara Mesu, Ezudar, Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, so Stam Rabbi Shua and Shas, is Rabbi Shua ben Chananya. So this is the same Rabbi Shua. He darshened a makar in the Torah to his psach. Vayas Hashem alikim la'adam alishnei kosnois ar vayal bichat. This is a pasuk, of course, in Parashas Bereishis, when Adam and Chava realized that they're not dressed. So Hashem made for them kosnois ar. He made clothing made out of ar, leather. Vayal bichat. And he clothed them. Says Rabbi Shua, melamich in and kadosh baruch hu oisa ar la'adam elim came noitzit. Rabbi Shua was bothered with the following deal. Why does it have to say vayas Hashem alikim la'adam alishnei kosnois ar? He, that Pasha, you learn, the R was the Kesoinus. The Kesoinus made out of R. But he said, Rabbi Shua understood it differently. He said the Kosnois, the Kesoinus, was there to cover their skin. Obviously, the Kesoinus was going to cover their skin. Why do we have to emphasize R? So Rabbi Shua said, probably to teach me a halacha. A halacha in Parshas Tazria, Mesachtes Nida Perakam Apeles. Nida Daf Chafet. You know what the halacha is? That you want to know when a person is considered a person. Vayas Hashem alakim la'adam. When is he an Adam? When he has R. So once there's skin, that's when he's considered a developed child. So this embryo, being that there's R, even though maybe what's inside is not basar, it's solo, it's not achor, that would be enough. Meaning, alma ba'er tal yomilsa, loishna achor, v'loishna solo. That's the Gemara's kasha. How could a man say that the only time Rabbi Yeshua said is halacha is if there was something inside and that something inside was achor? Isn't it mefurish that Rabbi Yeshua explained the shita? It has nothing to do with something achor being inside, something that looks maybe like a Vlad that was nimaya. The basis, the premise of Rabbi Yeshua Shita is as long as this are, says the Gemara. The Gemara explains. Yeah, Rabbi Shlomo Betzal Machlokes. Bishlomo to Machlokes is Betzal Heinrich Itzrich Kro. Yeah, Rabbi Bacher Machlokes. Bishlomo to Machlokes is Bacher Lomeli Kro. Svar Baalmu. Isn't it a Svaro? No, his head is the man that holds that Rabbi Yeshua only said his halacha when it's Acher. Meaning it looks like this is a disintegrated child inside. How does that reconcile with Rabbi Yeshua himself, who Rabbi Yeshua darshan, Ezu darash, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, that the basis, this halacha, is this pasuk, Vayas Hashem alokim la'adam al-ishnoi, kosnas ar, vayal bishem, says the Gemara, Elo, what do you see from here? Shma mina, but solo machloikish, shma mina. So the Gemara accepts this, and the Gemara says, this must be a raya, the Rabbi Yeshua shita has nothing to do with the liquid that's achar being the sign of a vlad, but it's simply the embryo itself, the fact that it has ar, that's the sign that it's a vlad, says the Gemara. So we had two shitas, although one was seemingly upgefrekt, but we have two shitas. My time at the Rabbi Yeshua, says the Gemara, as it relates to one of the two shitas, v'chein Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbi Baravua, machlokes ba'achor. This shita that the Gemara just asked the Meisvei on, and the Gemara seemed to knock out, that shita was actually expressed by Adam Eiram as well. Ba'achor, machlokes was only by Achor, Ava B'tzal, the Be'akol, Ein Evlad, Eisvei Rav, the Rav Nachman, so Rav asked the Kasha, and Rav Nachman, a different Kasha, Ela Amru, Simen, Vlad, Be'behema, Daka. So the context here is B'chiris, Daf Yutes, on the base, we're discussing where somebody bought an animal from an Oyved Koychavim, and we're trying to determine whether or not this animal was Bikra before or not. Now that it gives birth to a child, an animal, will that animal have Kedushas Bechar or not have Kedushas Bechar? So the Chachamim gave us the following rule. Simin Vlad Bebehema. How do you know if a Behema gave birth to a Vlad? So if it's a Behema Daka, Tinuf. If a Tinuf comes out, this discharge, that's a sign of a Vlad. Meaning the next Vlad is not going to have Kedushas Bechar. Begasa, if it's a Behema Gasa, it has to be a Shilya. Beisha, if it's a woman, then it has to be either a Shfir or a shilya. Now says the Gemara, Rava made a diak. V'ilu shvir bebehem leipata. It sounds like a shvir, an embryo, is considered a vlad when we're dealing with a woman, a human being. But when we're dealing with a behema, behemadaka, even a behemagasa, it's not considered a child. Says the Gemara. Yeah, Rabbi Shloima b'tzalim achleikis. Bishloima, if even Rabbi Yeshua that holds that a shvir is considered a vlad, said it b'tzalu. And what's then the basis of Rabbi Yeshua shita? It's based on a pasuk. What's the pasuk? Vayas Hashem l'kin la'adam u'lish de'kasa sar vayal b'yishem. Then I understand. Mishum achi isha de Rabbi Bakra patar b'ashvir b'behem adoloi. Rabbi Bakra le'ir b'ashvir b'ashvir. So isha, when you have this pasuk, you have a pot. You have a makar for it, as opposed to behem anayel. Yeah, I'm a bachar machlegis, but if you can tell me the machlegis is b'yachar mechti, svaruhu ma'ishno ishdo ma'ishno behemo. So if the basis to this halach is a pasuk, I understand the difference between a behem and an isha. But if it's based on a svaru, this murky matter that's there, whatever exactly that is, looks like a vlad. So if a behem has it, it doesn't look like Govad. Elamai, that's not Rabbi Shua's Shita. Rabbi Shua's Shita of Shvir was a much bigger Chiddush. Even if it's solo, even if you don't have this matter, this liquid that's Ocher, even then that Loch is good. It's based on a Pasuk. Then it's very Gishmak. The Pasuk is by Adam. By Yas Hashem Elikim LaAdam Or. By Adam you see it's Tali and Or. Either way, the Gemara says it's not a right. Because Misavris Rabbi Shua Mifshat Pashala, you're assuming that Rabbi Shua knew for a fact that a Shvir She'inai Merukam is considered a Vlad. Rabbi Yeshua really didn't know it for a fact. Rabbi Yeshua, Sfukei Masafkele. Rabbi Yeshua had a Safik. Bazel, Hacha Lachumra, V'Hacha Lachumra. And that's why Rabbi Yeshua always went Lachumra. And the Gemara explains. Gabi Isha, Dimamoinahu, Safmoin Lakula. As it relates to that Mishnah Masechtas Bechairis, that says a Shvir is considered a Vlad by a human being. So what essentially Rabbi Yeshua was saying is that, I don't know for sure it's a Vlad, but it might be a Vlad. So that when she has the next child, it's a Safik whether there's a Chi of Pidyon Aben. That's what's Negeya Bechar Adam. It's a suffix whether or not this child is the Bechar. Mi suffix, Hamoitzim Echaveri Oliver Raya. So you're not going to have a Chiv to give the opinion of that. That's why he said the Shvir is treated like a Vlad, not because he knows for a fact, but practically speaking, Mi suffix, the Chumr is going to be to treat it as a Vlad, so that the next one, you're not going to have to give opinion about. Gabi Behema, the Surahu, the Ikkel, Gabi Giza, by the Safik, the Chumr. But as it relates to Behema, he said just the opposite. There, the Chumr is to assume that the Shvir wasn't a Vlad, and that the second one is the Bechar, because the nafkamina in halacha between a Bechar and not a Bechar, practically speaking, is the Isser Giza Vavoida. So as it relates to the Isser Giza Vavoida, obviously, L'chumra, you can't do Giza Vavoida. So therefore, he said, L'chumra, you have to assume the Shvir is not a Vlad. And as it relates to our sugya, this Rabbi Yeshua, that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi quoted in the name of Rabbi Yossi, was Hachinami Gabi Isha Safik Tumal Chumra. Obviously, over here it's a question of Chumra, because on the Tzad that it's a Vlad, she has to keep Tumas later. So as a result, Rabbi Yeshua, when he said a Shita, he only said a Lechumra. And that's how you reconcile this. But the Gemara says, Mimis Afkali, is that true? Could you tell me that Rabbi Yeshua never said his Shita Bitoras Vada, he only meant it as a suffix, Sfuki Mesafki, but Krokomar. The Gemara said, Azu Doresh Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. It doesn't sound like a suffix. It sounds like he has a Makar. So the Gemara says, you have to say, Midrabonon, Vikras Machtaba Amahu. Either way. So just to recap what we just did. And that is, the Mishnah said, Hamapeles Shvir. If a woman miscarries an embryo, so what's the halacha? If it's full with water, there's blood, there's genunim, there's some multicolored matter, Rashi says, Givanim. The halacha is enoch eshesh as levad. We don't assume it's a vlad. The only time we assume it's a vlad is im hayam merukam. If it was a fully developed Embryo, the Gemara will explain. That's the second part of the daf, what fully developed means. But if it was fully developed, then you assume it is a Vlad, and there, Teshel the Zachar on the Then you have to start keeping the Lachas of Tumah V'Tayra. The Gemara says, Shalul Fnei Rebbe, they asked Rebbe that there was one case that the Mishnah never mentioned. What would be if you had the Shvir, it wasn't Moli Dam, Moli Mayim, and Moli Genunim. It also wasn't Merukim yet, it wasn't fully developed. But there was Basar inside. Do you assume that the Basar is a sign of it? There have been a Vlad, and as a result, Tumas Leida, or maybe the Basar doesn't mean anything. So Rebbe said, Loi Shamati. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi was there, and Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi said, I'll tell you, I heard from Gehed from the Tata. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi's father was the great Rabbi Yossi, and he said that I heard from Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, Mefurish, that the halacha is that if the Shfir was Malei Basar, Kmei Leida. So Rebbe told Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, I'm not Nispal. I'm not Nispal, you're not swaying me. Because maybe when Rabbi Yossi said it, he was going Aliba de Rabbi Yeshua. He never said his halacha, Aliba de Chachamim. Who's this Rabbi Yeshua? Rabbi Yeshua has a much more stringent position when it comes to this halacha of what stage the embryo would have to be in order for it to be considered a vlad. Rabbi Yeshua's shita was that of shvir she'enei merukim, not like the chachamim in the Mishnah, but even a shvir she'enei merukim is considered a vlad. So in Rabbi Yeshua's world, where it doesn't have to be developed, so maybe if it was malei basar, that would meet the standard in Rabbi Yeshua's world in order for you to be considered a shvir. But as it relates to the Chachamim that argue with Rabbi Yeshua, maybe not. And Allah is not like Rabbi Yeshua. So Allah Lamaisa said, Rabbi, I don't know, bottom line, what the Allah is, I'll leave it to Chachamim. You're telling me Rabbi Yossi said it? Rabbi Yossi maybe meant, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yeshua. And by the way, he said it together with another Allah, which we know he only meant, I'll leave it to a Yachid, Sumchas Mishum Rameh. So maybe this also wasn't, I'll leave it to Hilchasim. Then the Gemara went on to digress a little bit, to understand a little better this Shita is Rabbi Yeshua, and the Gemara tootstad him Rabbi Yeshua meant. Either Rabbi Yeshua held that any shvir, as long as it's R, that's enough for it to constitute a vlad, doesn't matter what's inside of it. There was another mandama that held not that way. That maybe there has to be something in it that looks a little bit like a vlad. What's that something? If you have a liquid, even as long as it's achor, that would be enough for it to maybe deem the vlad. The Gemara said maybe spooky misafkale. That's the bottom line. Zok de Gemara. Omale Reb Chanina bar Shlamya. Reb Chanina bar Shlamya said lirav. Ha Rebbe. I hear Rebbe's position as it relates to a shvir that's Malei Basar. What was Rebbe's position? I don't know. Lo Shamati, Rashi says. Ha Rebbe Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. I know Rebbe Shmuel Rabbi Yossi's position. He heard from his father, Rabbi Yossi, that said later. Ha Rabbi Yeshua. Ha Rabbi Yeshiva. Ha Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. I also have, I'm familiar with this machloikis, Rabbi Yeshiva and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, as it relates to how to understand Shitas Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Chanina bar Shlamya asked Rav, Mar Kaman Svirale. He says, Rebbe, what do you hold? What's the halacha? Amalei told him, I hold Echadzeh ve Echadzeh. Meaning, it doesn't matter if what's inside is achor, or what's inside is tzolul, enichay sheshes, you don't have to worry. What's the beer? Because he held that the machlokes between the chachamim was echad tzol of echad achor, and he held the halacha like the chachamim, not like Rabbi Yeshua. So at the end of the day, you never have to be chayshes. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel had a different shita. He said, echad zeh, echad zeh, chayshes. You actually always have to worry. As the Gemara of Azar Shmuel Tamein, this is Shmuel Bashitasai. The chiyas, Rav Dimi Amar, Rav Dimi came from Eretz the Bavli. He said, Me'oilam loy dochu shvim in arda. So he said that they never were metaher a shvir in arda. Never happened. Meaning they always took on this chumradigah position. Who was the Mara da Asra in Naharda? Shmuel. Lebar me'ahu shafira. There was one shfir, the Asa lekami de Shmuel, that was presented to Shmuel, the manach alev chut ha-saira me'hagisa, where the liquid that was inside this embryo was so clear that if you put it here, a chut ha-saira on one side, chaz me'hagisa, you're able to see it on the other side. Omar, he said, the vlad avoy, if there was ever a vlad inside, le have a zig kulehai. It wouldn't have been so clear. And from the fact that it was so clear, that was the only time that Shmuel otherwise was very when it came to this. Any embryo, anything that a woman miscarried, he said, no, Teisha Vuzachal in the cave. This is Shmuel Shitasai. Rav took on a very lenient position. He held that doesn't matter if it's Salul, if it's Acher, we don't pass on the Rabbi Yeshua. Shmuel seemed to be in the reverse. Zok de Gemara Vaitavim. Hoya Merukim. So again, this is all with this undeveloped shvir. What happens if the shvir was developed? Hoya Merukam. Teishev Lazachal in the Kedah. In that case, you have to keep these halachas. Tan Rabbanan. Ezeu Shvir Merukam. What is the definition of a developed embryo? Abishol Loim Abishol said. Tchilas Briyasai Meiroishai. When an embryo is formed, so mitchila, it's formed from its head, ushtei enav, and at that point, the very, very early stage, it's two eyes, akishtei tipin shalzvo, looks like the two eyes of a fly, tanvei rabchia, miruchakim zamizeh, and they're far from each other. I mean, just like a human being, his two eyes are not right next to each other, there's a little bit of distance, so the distance is already noticeable. Shnei chaytamin, the two nostrils of this embryo, akishtei tipin shalzvo, like the two dots of a fly. In that case, they're going to be just like the nostrils are close to each other as a person gets older. So too, at that very early stage, they're already mekuravim zelazet. Upiv, its mouth is masuach kechut asayra. It looks like a here. You just see like a little here, which is where the mouth is going to be. Ugviyasoi, assuming it's a zachar, so the aver hazachros is kadash. It's like a lentil. Vim hoisin akeva, what if it's an akeva? Nidoina kisayra la arka. So there's going to be a little slit that looks like the slit of a barley corn. The chitoch yedayim raglaim einloi, there's no hands and feet yet. The ola befurish bekabbalah, and this idea of the way that the embryo develops is actually referenced bekabbalah. Kabbalah means neviyim uksuvim, specifically Eiv Perik Yud, where Eiv said, haloi kecholav tatichaini v'chagvina takpieni ayin rashi, oiru basar talbisheni ubatzomis v'gidim tesoichacheni chayim v'chesed asisoy madi ufkudas chasham ruchi. So when this sphere was miscarried, so what's the first thing the rabbi had to do? He had to inspect. Is it merukim or is it not merukim? Shvir she'in merukim is much more cool than a shvir merukim. So how do they examine this? That there was some sort of examination that had to be done on this embryo to determine if it's merukim or not, whether or not this is going to be tumas later. So the first thing the Gemara says is, ein poit genoise b'mayim, you can't use water at all, shamayim azim, because the water is strong, v'tardenoisai, and it's going to cause it to go bad. Rashi says tardenoisai means memachin, it's going to cause it to disintegrate. Elobayt genoisai v'shemen. They would examine it with oil, shashemen rach, because the oil is mild, u'mitzach tzachai. It's going to cause it to shine, to glisten, and as a result, you'll be able to see it more clearly. I mean, you have to, we're going to try to find these evarim and these simonim of whether it's merukim that are very, very subtle. So the first thing you want to do is you want to smear it with oil, like this, it's everything that's there is going to be highlighted and emphasized. Not just that, you had inspected that in the song. Didn't we just say? Meaning, once you establish that it's merukim, now you want to know if it's a zachar and a keva. Makes a very big difference. Is it 7 and 33? Or is it 14 and 66? Abishol barnash. V'amrila abishol barromosh. So we had abishol in the beginning of the daf, but that's the famous Abishol that's quoted throughout Shas. So this is either Abishol Barnash or Abishol Baromosh. Either way, maybe kisam sheroy shecholik. You take a kisam that's a splinter that has a smooth head, and you move it by isem makim. In the sachse, if it catches onto something, you do a zacher, then you know it's a zacher. It caught on to the aver azachros v'imlav, and if it doesn't catch on to anything, be a duish in a kevi. But this is only true if you move the kisam vertically, mil mato lemaila avol menat stadim emekoyz beisarechem dino. If however you move it across the side, even if it catches onto something, it's not a raya that what it caught onto was the aver. Maybe what it caught onto was the koysle beisarechem. Omer av adabarahavatonim oisnek eva nidoina kisa oirusaduga. In the event that this embryo was in a keva, then again it would have this split like a barley corn. Maska flor av Nachman. How do you know that? Vidum chut shal beitzim dino. Maybe that chut is the chut that separates the zachar's two testicles. So how do you know that that chut, that kisa oira, is a sign of an ekeva? Maybe it's a sign of a zachar, because a zachar also has a split. Doesn't have beitzim yet, so obviously it's not going to have that chut either. Amram continued along the steam. He said, "Tana shtei yirei chaysav, kishtei chutin shal zahiris." The two thighs of this embryo appear like two threads. Threads of Zahiris, of crimson, Va'amarav Amram, Allah Kishel Erev. Now, what type of threads? So these are the Erev threads. The Erev threads are the horizontal threads. You have the Shasi and the Erev. It's going to look like the Erev threads. Shnei Zrei Oysev, Kishnei Chutin Shal Zahiris. Also, Va'amarav Amram, Allah Kishel Shasi. This is the Shasi. The Shasi threads were thinner than the Erev threads. Either way, Amale Shmuel or Rav Yehuda. Shmuel told Rav Yehuda, Shinano, Loi Savit Uvda Ad Sheyaseh. So Shmuel turns to Rav Yehuda, this Talmud Muvik, Shinana, this is already, I think, the third time we had Shinana in Masechtas Nida, and he told him that if you ever are presented with a Shaila, the only time you should assume
that it's a fully developed child is if it has hair on its head. Otherwise not. Right, the Gemara, that is the shim with what Shmuel said in Amar Aleph. Shmuel and Amar Aleph seem to have taken the diametric opposite position. Didn't Shmuel say, Mi am Shmuel hachi, am Shmuel achazu v'achazu chayshashes? Am Ravami bar Shmuel, the didim rifashim v'neidim bar Shmuel, lochosh chayshashes. No, avada. Two separate things. Shmuel held on Amar Aleph, you're always chayshash. Right? He even took on Rabbi Yeshua's chumras. He said, you're always supposed to be machmer, you're always supposed to assume that maybe it's a child. That's as it relates to chumra. But if you want to know, Batir is vadai, whether it was a child, meaning not only the chumras, but even the kulas, what's the kula of a yeledes? The yamei toya. So you want to have even the yamei toya, even the kula, that yamei toya, well, yamei achi yaser, only if the child has here. If there's already hair on its head, otherwise, it's not. As Meima says, it sounds like Shmuel himself wasn't sure, right? Now we have a whole different, we thought Shmuel and Amar Aleph held more of an ideological position that an embryo in its very early stages is considered a vlad, loishna. But the one saying, no, really it was all a suffix. Shmuel just wasn't really sure. Shmuel was misafkele. Says, I'm going to show you how versed Shmuel was in these areas. There was a shvir that once came to Shmuel. There was an embryo. Omar, he said, he inspected it. And he said, this embryo looks like it was conceived 41 days ago. Going back to the date of conception. He said 41 days. Then they found out who the father was. And turned out that the mother had gone to the mikveh only 40 days earlier. You know what Shmuel said? He was so positive that this embryo wasn't 40 days old. It was 41 days old. That he was Mechiach. It must be that this man was Boyal Nida. Kafse tied him up. And he got him to confess his sin. So either way, says the Gemara, Shmuel is Chayshashas. Shmuel doesn't know. L'chura, Shmuel knows 100%. You see, he was a tremendous bucky. Shmuel was a doctor, by the way. Throughout Shas, Shmuel was a doctor. So you see, Shmuel was not just a doctor, but he was a scientist. And he was considered very versed in these areas. So what's Shmuel Chayshet? The Gemara says, Shani Shmuel the Rav Gurbi. No, Shmuel himself and Hanami. Shmuel didn't say that this is the way he goes about it. Shmuel himself was very self-confident when it came to a shvir. He knew how to determine a shvir. He was telling Rav Yehuda. He said, Rav Yehuda, you're not as versed as I am. And as a result, don't learn from me. You know, Talmud sees his Rebbe, he has Shimush. He says, it's a mistake. For you, unless there's hair on its head, do not give it the cool of your Meitoyah. I, as it relates to me, that's a little bit different. Excel. So going back to the beginning of the daf. So the Gemara told the story. The Gemara said, Tanya, Abishol Oimer. Abishol said, Koivir Mason Hoyisi. I was a Koivir Mason. I worked for the Chaver Kaddish. Pamachas Rachatz Diachar Tzvi. I was once running after a deer. V'nechnasti b'kulo shal meis. And the deer entered the thigh bone of a very large person. And I followed after it. V'ratz Diachar Shalosh Parsois. I chased it for 3 parsois. V'tzvi lo yigati. But I couldn't chap the deer. V'kulo shal kolosa. And by the way, the thigh bone was even bigger than these 3 parsois. When I turned around, Armali, they told me, shal oig melech habashan hoysa. That this kulis was the kulis of oig melech habashan. The 3 R's. Number 1, the Gemara seems to be saying that Oyv Melech Habashan was a very large man, which we all know. But not only was he very large, but his thighs were literally Shloisha Parsois. They were 3 Parsois. The truth is, there's another Gemara, Masechtas Brachas, in Perikaroya, Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis, that talks about the incredible size of Oyv Melech Habashan. Perikaroya talks about if someone sees certain things, Haraya, so you have to make a bracha. Says the Braisa, Evan Shabikesh Oig Melech Habashan Lizakah Yisrael. If somebody sees the stone that Oig Melech Habashan wanted to throw on Klal Yisrael, he's supposed to make a bracha. Says the Gemara, what's this stone all about? It's not mentioned anywhere in the Torah. Or says, you're right, Gemara Gemirla, Yidden had a tradition, they had a Masorah that there was such a stone. And the Gemara goes on to elaborate. Omar, Oig said, Machni Yisrael Kamahave. How big is Machni Yisrael? Klosa Parsi. It's 3 Parsois. Ezel V'akritur Batlosa Parsi. Let me go uproot a mountain that's 3 Parsois. V'ishti Alayu. V'ektalinu. I'm going to throw it on the Yidden. And I'm going to kill Klai Yisrael. Ozal, he went. Okar tur bat nasa parsi. So he was so big and so strong, he was able to uproot a mountain that was 3 parsois. V'aisi al reishi. And he carried it on his head. So he's walking with this mountain, literally, on his head. V'aisi kuchibrichu alei kamsi. What did Kodesh Baruch Hu do? He brought ants. Tiny, tiny ants. They went, unakfua. And they bore a hole inside this mountain. The mountain was on his head. Now there's a hole. So what happened? It got locked onto his neck. V'nachas batzavari. Habibay l'mishaleh. He was trying to remove it. But mashche shine l'haygisa l'haygisa. Another miracle. His teeth started growing, becoming longer. They got
entrenched into the mountain. He couldn't take the mountain. Because Baruch Hu made his teeth grow long. Either way, says the Gemara, so he's standing now with this mountain, it's on his head. Moshe Kamahaba, now Moshe Rabbeinu comes in. He says, how tall was he? Eser Amos. He was 10 Amos tall. Shokol Nargabar Eser Amos. He took an axe that was 10 Amos long. Shovar Eser Amos. He jumped 10 Amos. And he hit Og Melech HaBash. But where did he hit him? He only hit him on his ankles. And that was the way he killed him. Either way, this is the story of how Og Melech HaBash was killed. And again, another Gemara that talks about what a giant Og Melech HaBash is. Now, it's interesting. There were many giants, right? The Gemara says, Adam HaRishon was Misoifa, Og Melech HaSoifa. But there are giants that we have in our Goliaths, of course. What's interesting about Og Melech HaBash, there's actually a pasuk in the Torah. A pasuk in the Torah, it's a little in Yad of the Yom, the parashiyas that we're learning now, by Yovah Yapalit. But there's actually a pasuk in the Torah that describes the size of Og Melech HaBash. It's a pasuk that's tucked away. It's in Parashas Devarim. It's Peregimel. It's Pasuk Yud Aleph. So Parashas Devarim is Mishnah Torah. It's Chazara of what happened during the 40 years that the Yidden were in the Midbar. So one of the things they did was they defeated Og Melech HaBash. Says the pasuk, how big of a giant was Og Melech HaBash? Kirak Og Melech HaBash Nisham Yesa Arifam. Once upon a time, in the olden days, there were many, many giants. They were all killed. In Parashas Lech Lecha, the pasuk talks about the war of the kings, the four against the five, Kedar La'omer. So they killed the Rifan. All the Rifan were killed with the exception of, that's why it was called the Pollet. He was a survivor. So he was the only one of these giants that remained from the Rifan. How big was he? Hine Arsoi, his crib, it's a pasuk in the Torah. His crib, when he was a baby, was Erez Barzel, was made out of Barzel. Haloi hi berabas b'nei amoy. Where is it now? It's today. We'll see in a minute. In B'nai Amoy, this place called Rabbas B'nai Amoy. And how big was it? It was Tesha Amos Arka. It was 9 Amos long. So if you assume an Amos 2 feet, so it's about 18 feet long. The Arba Amos Rachba, 4 Amos wide. That's 8 feet wide. It's a big baby. But Amos Ish, with the Amos of Ish. So a few things. First of all, what does Amos Ish mean? Rashi says Amos Oyik. It doesn't mean our Amos. What's an Amos literally? What's literally an amma? An amma is from your elbow to the top of your face. So it's the ammas of, I mean, this is a big man. So obviously his ammas are much bigger also. So in the ammas of Og Melech HaBashan, it's 9 ammas long by 4 ammas wide. But the Torah goes into great detail to describe, interesting, he named Arsoy Eretz Barzel. We have to know about the crib of Og Melech HaBashan. So his crib was made out of metal. The Rashbam says, Lefisha kishahoyu katan hoyu chazak ma'od. And the Rashbam says what's seemingly obvious, because when he was a baby, he was pretty strong, pretty heavy. Ubishtatchai hoyu mishabe Eretz Aleit. So first they tried putting him in a nice a nice crib, but he went right through. The kachasu shel barzel. So the only option they had was they made it out of steel. Like this, it was gonna be able to hold him. Kilo adam gadol. That's the Rashbam. The pasuk says that this crib halohi berabas b'nei amoin. It's in Rabbas b'nei amoin. Says the Ramban. Quoting from the Ramban in the crib in Parshas Dvarim. Tehine nishara mitasay shama berabba. Asher he atel of Ne'amoy. The crib remained. Somehow the crib survived. So Og was a survivor and his crib. Ne'amoyim kept on to it. Le'edus ki hishmidu am god overam. This was their edus that they destroyed the Rifaim and they kept on to Og's crib. Va'isha gibor asher kigoy va'arazim gavoy v'chasru kaloyim lochtu merem achusay. V'zeh tam aloy hi. That's what aloy hi means. Says the Rabban, Kaloy Merhine ho edus kayemes, shehi eres barzel, varuka uruchava ma'oid, the kayemes hi berabas amon, ki arsay ashav ashrei soysel l'shol v'avdo. Either way, so we have a lot about the crib of Og Melech HaBashan. It's mentioned in the Torah, the Ramban says that it survived somehow, and the B'nai Amon used to keep it as an edus for the fact that they destroyed the Rifam. But either way, so Og is a large man, as we see in our Gemara, brachas, nundalad amid beis, a pasuk in the Torah that for some reason went into lengths, pun intended, to describe the size of Og Melech HaBashan and specifically his crib. Either way, hashtag rest of the story. That's the first aura. The second aura is a fascinating tshuva from the Chasam Sofer. And this is in Shilas HaTshuvas Chasam Sofer. It's in Yoredeya, Simen Shin Lamed Zayin. So we'll go through the tshuva and see where it ties into this story of Abishol running after a deer, entering the thigh bone of the great Og Melech HaBashan. The shaila that was presented to the Chasam Sofer was as follows. There was a man, he was a Kohen, he had a friend that was a Gentile. He was a non-Jew. He was invited over to his house. He drains in his backyard and he sees a matzeva, a tombstone. It's lying on the ground horizontally. He goes close to the matzeva, he reads it, and it says as follows: Poi nitman ish hagun Reb Zecharia ben Reb Yedidia nifte be'erev Yom Kippur in the year Kuf Nun Tes, 1399. So this is in the early 1800s. And this yid, he sees a tombstone that goes back more than 400 years. It's lying literally on its side. So he goes over to his friend and he says, tell me, what's this tombstone? So he tells him, he says, I heard from my father, who heard from his father, once upon a time there was a Jewish cemetery here. He's a guy. There was a Jewish cemetery over here, and this is a surviving tombstone that goes back to that day. Either way, the person said, you know, I just realized I have another meeting. I have to run. He runs out. He runs to his rav and he says, what do? I'm doing business with this guy. Like, am I allowed to be there in his chatzar? Is that okay? The Rav wasn't sure. So he sent the Shaila, like every big Shaila in the 1800s, and ended up at the desk of the Chassam Sofer. And the Chassam Sofer sat down and he wrote a tshuva. And the Shaila essentially was two things. Number one, you have to trust this non-Jew, because based on Jewish history, nobody was aware of any Jewish settlement or there being a large group of Jews that lived in that area. No one was aware of it. And based on that, you know, do you trust a non-Jew? A non-Jew doesn't have a perfect namanis when it comes to halacha, masich lefituma, yedechanam bisur, etc., etc. But often, an Eina Yehudi is not a neman. So the first question is, do you even have to trust him? I mean, our understanding of the time was that there was no Jewish Gehila, certainly that dated back to the 14th century. That was the first question. The second question was, Afilu and Tim Suleiman, this is very interesting. Afilu and Tim Suleiman, that what this person is saying is true. But these graves are so old. And if they're so old, what exactly are you worried about? A grave that goes back hundreds and hundreds of years, what would be the issue? Fascinating. For a Kohen to walk into a cemetery where people have not been buried in hundreds and hundreds of years. Meaning, a Kohen's not allowed to walk into a cemetery because he's not allowed to be metamel a mace. You walk into a cemetery, how are you becoming tummy to a mace? You're not touching a mace. You're not carrying the mace. The reason is because a mace, there's a chiddush, it's metamel b'oil. So if you walk on top of a mace, you're running into tumas oil issues. The thing, however, is that the standard of what the definition of maces as it relates to Tumas Oyo is much more chomer than the definition of mace as it relates to Maga and Masa. That's Pashat, that the only part of the mace that may be around 400-500 years later are the Atzamas. The Basar decomposed, there's not the muscle, the tissue, that's all not there. The question is the Atzamas, there might be Atzamas there. But even if there's an Etzem there, even if there's something there, so said the Chassam Sofer, Etzem is only metame ba'oil if it's roiv minyan and roiv binyan of that tzomas of the mace. This time we know that etzem kisa'oira is metame, that's b'maga. It's not metame ba'oil. So being that over here, the whole tumah we're dealing with is anyways is tumas oil. So l'chura, if it's a shayla of tumas oil, do you have to be concerned that a grave that's there for 400 or so years maybe will have atzomas that are roiv minyan or roiv binyan, or at least big enough for them to be able to be metame the kohen b'tumas soil? That was the focus, the emphasis of the Chassam Sofer. Could a kohen walk into an ancient cemetery? Well, you know for sure nobody's been buried for a very long time. At first, what do you mean? A kohen can't walk into a cemetery? And it's not so simple, because the emphasis is that the whole issue is based on tumas oil. And you need a certain shear of atzamas in order for there to be a tumas oil problem. That's the shaila. Is there a problem over here, or is not a problem over here? And the Chassam Sofer went about systematically and methodically going through Chazal, because the Chassam Sofer didn't consult with scientists and ask them, you know, are the atzamas do decompose with time, but, you know, we've found fossils and things that date back a very long time, so clearly bones do survive. So, but that's the shaila. The shaila is it enough or is it not enough? So this is not from a scientific perspective. This is very much from a halacha perspective. So the first thing he said is as follows. He says, it's Yedua, Shteit Medrash, and in Zohar HaKadosh, and it's quoted by the Elu Rabba and the Taz and the Mata Moshe, that there's an Indian to eat Malava Malka, Simen Shin in Erechayim, because there's one bone that a person has that never decomposes, it's called the Luz. And that bone is the Koyach from which there's going to be Tchias HaMesin, and what gives the bone the energy, the spiritual energy that it needs to, at some point, come rejuvenate and do what it needs to do, B'tchias HaMesin, it's eating Malava Malka. The Taz quotes in Arachan Simch. But either way, it's Mashu from this Gemara, said the Chassam Sofer, that really all the bones decompose. The only bone that doesn't decompose is the Luz. So if this is the only bone, the Luz is very, very small. He said it's Zichah not the shear in order for it to be Matama Ba'il. So he said at first glance, I would think it's not going to be a problem. Says the Chassam Sofer, but like Tikshi Lucha. Don't ask me a kasha from Abishol. Mesechtes nida da chav dal and amid beis. Sha'amad be Gilgal enoy shal oigmal chaboshon. Ein lemeidin. Is he can't bring rayas from Oig because he wasn't a regular person. His crib was made out of steel and it was 18 by 8. He was a very, very large man. But as it relates to regular mortals, as Lechura, based on that, the Medrash and the Zayir, all you have is the lois. If all you have the lois, is Lechura, based on that, it shouldn't be a problem. And he says, even though maybe you'll tell me you're not so comfortable with this, but Rish Lakish said in a few places in Shas, Ilam Matsu v'tiaru aseret Yisrael, that when it comes to being metayer places, Ilam Matsu, Ilam is an excuse. Come and found an excuse to be metayer Eretz Yisrael. There was a Shiloh with Kfaris. Any little excuse, we're always metahir. There's a koyach that terror when it comes to these areas. That was what the Chassam Sofer said. But he says, omnam kadma'ayin is shaper, not shvir. Kadma'ayin is shaper, halvasa. The truth is that as you go through it, it's really not true. He says, number one, there's another Gemara Masechtas Nida, daf samach aleph, amar aleph. The Gemara says, we made Rabbi Shua ben Chananyu matzu bar molei atzamos. They found a bar, a pit that was full of atzamos. And they asked around, what's this bar? They said it dates back to the times of Yeshua ben Nesanya, who lived in the times of Gedalia ben Achikam. So these were from Chalolim that dated back to the times of Gedaliah ben Achikam. Says the Chassam Sofer, let's do some back of the envelope history. Gedaliah ben Achikam lived circa Churban Bayis Rishon. Rabbi Shulban Chananya lived circa Churban Bayis Sheni. They lived 490 or so years apart from each other. If that's the case, here you had all these atzomais, they survived. Vayistoyis atzomais bones can't survive. He says, I'll bring you another raya. We know the Haftarah that we read on Shabbos Cholamoid. That's almost Yevashis of Yecheskel. And the Gemara has a whole discussion, what exactly, who were these bones? One man Dama says, Perikhe, like hashtag rate bites, is that the Gemara says, who were the Atzamites? It was the Bnei Ephraim. The Bnei Ephraim were the children of Ephraim, as in Ephraim, the son of Yosef, the son of Yaakov Avinu. They left Mitzrayim 30 years early. They made a toys in the Cheshbon. They knew Yodoya Teda, the Eretz Lehem, Avodim Inu Oysam, Arbim Eishana. They knew 400 years of Galus. They counted the 400 years from the Brisbane Absarim. They didn't realize it was 400 years from Leidas Yitzchak. 30 years apart, Avraham Avinu was 100 years old, last week's parashah, Beleidas Yitzchak. He was 70 years old, the Seyd Olam says, Brisbane Absarim. Rashi brings us a parashah's boy. But the point is, they made a mistake. They left that early, they were killed. Yecheskel Anovi saw these atzamos and it was Mechayim Mason. How many years later was that? Says the Chassam Sofer, if you do the math, it's tough, kuf chup. 920 years later. So here it survived 920 years. So you have 490 years from Gedaliah ben Achikam, Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, approximately. 920 years from the Bnei Ephraim to Yecheskel, approximately. So here you have atzamos that are surviving so much longer. See, so one second, I'm going ahead and I'm being mekel. It's not so poshut. I have chazals that you see the war atzamos. So maybe you can't, a kohen can't walk into an ancient cemetery. But the Chassam Sofer says that really, if you sit down, what you're left with is a steer. Here you have Chazal talk about the luz. The luz is the one bone that survives. From there comes Tchias HaMesim. Here you have Mefurish Gemaras that were not that way. So he says, what do you have to say? You have to say Loikasha based on another Gemara. Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Beis on the Beis. The Gemara says, Virekev Atzomis Kino. Kol Sheyesh Bay Kino, Atzmois of Markivin. V'chol Sheyim Bay Kino, In Atzmois of Markivin. That will a person's bones decompose after he dies? It depends if he was jealous while he was alive. Was he an Adam Sheyesh Bay Kino? Oh, he is an Adam She'in Baikina. An Adam She'yesh Baikina at Smoisov Nirkovim. Shabbos, Kufnun Beis Amid Beis. An Adam She'in Baikina, Ein Matzvoisov Arkivim. Says the Chassam Sofer. You have to say that when Chazal said the Medrash and the Zohar HaKadosh, that eat Malava Malka, because there's one bone to lose, this is the only bone that's going to survive. That's an Adam She'yesh Baikina. That person, Atzmois of Markivin, this is an Achuvus Chansai. That person, Atzmois of Markivin, being that it's Markivin, so this person's not going to have it, all he's going to have is the luz. Those Gemaras that talk about the Bnei Ephraim, Bimei Rabbi Shuv and Chananya, Matsubar Mali Atzomis, that dated back to the times of Gedaliah ben Achikam, from Gedaliah Fein, these were people that had no kinna. They had no kinna, so their bones survived. So says the Chassam Sofer, Allah of Mais, as relates to the Shaila, you know what we have to figure out? This person that's buried here, was he an Adam Sheyesh by Kinnah? Or was he an Adam Sheyesh by Kinnah? So this is beautiful. See, he says, Vin Cain, Adarabba, Oiki Hai Gavra, Rab Zacharia ben Rav Yedidya, first name basis. Vicheskas Kashras. Hakol Tali B'mazels. I don't know who this Yid was, Rab Zacharia ben Rav Yedidya. But he died in 1399, and he must have had a schos that he's quoted in the Shuvah's Chassam Sofer, in Shuvah's Shin Lam and Zayim and Yeridei, that we're talking about him. Literally 600 something years later. It's amazing. But either way, he says, L'chayra, oiki, hai, gavra. I mean, the Chassam Sofer paskin that he's a kosha. I imagine Menuchasa is beganen. It's a line of Chassam Sofer. Adar Rabba, oiki, hai, gavra, Rab Zacharia ben Rav Yedidya, becheskes kashas. No, if I was his lawyer, this is what I would present. It's a before Chassam Sofer. Checkmate. So he has a cheskes kashas. Shalai Haya by Kinna, that he never had Kinna. For like Nirkab, that's myself, and his bones. I want to honor on this. You know what Ara is? I read the Matseva. This is what the Matseva said. Poy Nitman Ish Hagun, Reb Zechai ben Reb Yedidia, Nifta be Erev Yom Kippur. Kuf Nun Tes. Chazal say that if somebody dies in Erev Yom Kippur, it's a Simin Ra. If someone dies in Matzi Yom Kippur, it's a Simin Yafa. But Erev Yom Kippur, it's a Simin Ra. So says the Chazal Soifer, Afal Gav Shemes be Erev Yom Kippur. This is also a punchline. He says, you're allowed to learn from Divrei HaGadah, but only L'schus, not L'chayva. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say this person who I never met, Reb Schayim and Reb Yedidya, that he wasn't a good person. Why? Because he was an Adam Sheyesh by Kinna, because he died in Erev Yom Kippur. It's true, it's a Maimer Chazal. So what I would take from that Maimer Chazal, if someone dies on Yom Kippur, or Matzi Yom Kippur, that's a Simon Yafa. But the other part of it, Erev Yom Kippur, that you can't take out. And then he says, Shomati B'Shem HaGoyin, Merenu HaRav Sholem, I'm not sure who this is, that's Al Lefarish, the Gabi Tzadik, Havi Kol Yoy Matzi Yom Kippur. See, a Tzadik dies in Matzi Yom Kippur, you know, it's always Matzi Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the day you do tshuva, Shuv Yoy Mechad, Kaidam Misascha. So it's always Matzi Yom Kippur, because you always did tshuva the day before you died. The Rishayim always die Erev Yom Kippur, because they always died one day too early. One more day, they could have done tshuva. See, he said, that's what it means. The Rosh always dies Erev Yom Kippur. The Tzaddik always dies Matzi Yom Kippur. He said, then I'm not going to go ahead and passel Reb Zechariah and Reb Yedidya, who has a Cheskes Kashrus, because he died in Erev Yom Kippur. He said, you want to take out of Ein Lamedim and Divrei HaGadah Elo L'schus V'loy L'chayve. Either way, this was what the Chasam Sofer said. And then he said, as it relates to the whole idea of Luz, he said, it's very mistaber that really the bones of a person, they remain for a long time. What did the Chachamim mean by Luz? They said that right before Tchias HaMesim, maybe Shah Achas Koyim Tchias HaMesim, then his bones are going to decompose. L'kayim, the Pasuk El Ofer Tashuv, maybe that's going to happen like at the last moment. But as it relates to even someone that's an Adam Shah, either way, Tfarim Neflaim, Reb Zechariah ben Reb Yedidya, a diak in the Matseva, that he died in Erev Yom Kippur, that's the second Ara. The third Ara is another Chasam Sofer, and that is as far as the Divrei HaGadah component of the Gemara. So Abishol said, Koyver Mesim Hayisi. He said, I was a Koyver Mesim. One time, I saw a Tzvi, a deer, and I started running after it. V'nechnasti, and I entered Kula Shal Meis. I ran after three parsois. V'tzvi lo higati, v'kulois lo kolosa. Obviously, this Gemara has to have a pshat. Says the Chasam Sofer, I believe that what Abishol meant to say when he said he was a Koyver Mason, he was a Makar of Rechoykim. He used to find Mason, Rishoim, that Bechayeya Makruyim Mason, and he would try to bring them closer to Hashem. He was Koyver the Mason. He tried bringing them back to life. And he said, one day I saw a deer and I ran after the deer. He says, you know what he means? He says, we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shir HaShirim is compared to as a deer. He said, the reason I was Mekarev of Rechoykin is because I wanted to become close to Hashem. And says, listen to this quote. V'alzeh omer ratz de'achar ha-tzvi hu ha-kedusha. This is the Kodesh Kedoshim of Shir HaShirim. Because if a person wants to come closer to Hashem, what more should he do? There's nothing more you can do than bring other people closer to Hashem. The ultimate dveikus by Kadosh Baruch Hu comes by bringing people closer to Hashem. So he says, I was a koyver mason. I wanted to become close to Hashem. And it was I had feelings of Shir HaShirim towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what I did was I was running after Mason because I knew that the greatest kurva that a person can have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by being Mekarevin. So you know what I did? Nichnasti Bekulas HaMes. The Kulas is the thigh. That's the Yerech that has pleasure during Tashmish, during Mishkol. He said, I went into the blotter. I was nechnasti alakulis to bring people out, to yank people out. Mamish, these neshamas, to try to bring them closer. But he said, what happened was, I was running after the tzvi, but I couldn't catch it. As much as I wanted to do this, I couldn't catch it. You know why I couldn't catch it? Because the people that I was trying to be makav, they were running faster than me. Because the taivas of the Baal Taiva was greater than the taiva I had to connect myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he said, that's why I was unsuccessful. And that's what Abishol said. This was like a little confession. He said that I understood the emes. I was a koyver mason. I tried being makar of people. I set my mind to it. And I did it because I understood this is the ultimate kedusha. Because Shir HaShirim, V'ratzti achar tzvi. And I did whatever I needed to do. But I wasn't as successful as I could have been. You know why? Because the tzvi ran faster than me. Because at the end of the day, he said that Rav Tavosei Shabal Aver L'Aver is Yoysen Imash Oye Tavosei Shalab Ashol L'Rdav Achar Tzvi V'Akdusha. And the reason people aren't aren't successful is because you have to want it as badly as they want it. And if they want their taiva more than you want your connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to end up losing. And that's what Abba Shaul said. That's why he lost. And he said, "Behu al derech sheshamati mimori v'rebi agoyim balafla." On the pasuk, Esav HaTzadik comes in and he's hungry and he says, "I'm hungry. Give me food." What Yaakov tell him? Michro kayoim es b'chayros choli. He said, "Sell me your and sell to me kayoim today." So said the Chassam Sofer, "I heard from the Rebbe daflo that was, what do you mean when he said kayoim?" He said, "Because we know Chazal say Esav did 5 averes on that day. He did unbelievable averes." Yaakov saw the koyach that Esav had. He was using this b'chayra, this spiritual energy that he had. He was using it for all the wrong things. So he said, "I want that b'chayra. That's what I want. Michro kayoim. What you show today." That you can go ahead, 5 Averis on one day, I want that, and I'm going to use it, I'm going to channel it for the right way. Maybe that's why Yitzchak, Yehuda Farber, told this to me. I called him last night, I was so excited. So, hashtag Lakewood Fellowships. See, he told me, maybe that's why Yitzchak loved Esav. This is what he saw in Esav. He saw that koyach. This is what he saw. Yaakov also saw the koyach. And he said, "I want the koyach, and I want to channel it for the good." That was the oimik in Michro Kayoimas B'chayros Chali. Because he said, if Esav can use this and he could channel this for the bad, I want to be able to channel. But either way, this is how you do it. The way to do it is you have to want it as badly as the person that you're trying to be Makarov wants it. Because otherwise, you're not going to be able to catch it.